Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Time Light Men How Poetry Found Me podcast, where we talk about writing and how instrumental it is to the development of the human mind and the releasing of pressure from the brain and taking stress and toxins out of your body and putting it on page. And at the same time, having to focus on whether or not when you write things down or you plan things out, you get a chance to fulfill those dreams or those goals or the things that you most aspire to do. We try to focus on the person, the individual, and what it takes for that person, be it you or I, to put ourselves in the throes of spirituality to help us understand the world that we live in. And with today's environment, today's climate, we all need to focus on something that will bring us happiness, something that is equivalent to spiritual awareness. There's so much out here in the world that being aware of what's spiritual is kind of difficult when you look at it. With all the recent developments of human beings and the way we process things, spirituality is kind of washed over in terms of how we fragment it and try to segment that particular concept of divinity. We should look at also how to encourage our children, or how to encourage children in general, to give them the tools, the motivational fortitude to pursue what they want in life, and to let them know that no matter what, they're special. And I say that they're special because they came into this world amidst all of these turbulent times that we find ourselves in. Every child that's born is special because they have permission by God to be here. We try to focus on health and try to break down what it means for you or me to be a healthy individual physically, mentally, and spiritually. Those trifectas to make us well-rounded in our world. Outside of that, everything else comes from that. And most of our development is internal. We see things externally, we process them internally, and then we act accordingly. And when you look at those things, and in your lifetime, you'll see that there's so many things that went awry. But the one thing you should do is that you should never underestimate what your true powers are. And if you could just tap into that internally, then you're able to do and deal and handle life in the way that's best suited for you. Now, the road that we travel on has many different avenues. And like they say in today's language, finding your lane. And when they tell you to find your lane, they're saying, find the lane that works for you so that you can become prosperous. But there's only one lane in life, and that is life. The choices that we make psychologically, consciously, or unconsciously, are the deviations to what we think may be the road to development. I always try to use myself as an example. Just try to be inspired about what life is in its totality. When you are a child, you don't know what life is, and there's nobody that can tell you that you know what life is, because you don't. And no child ever will. But children are here to be observed by adults, to give them the necessary mental awareness to be able to deal with situations that they find themselves in. And in their dealing with those situations, the adults have to be there to kind of point them in and out of situations that would be non-beneficial to them, or it may be a life lesson to them, just to make sure that they make a better decision the next time. And as we mature in our lives, some of that information we should retain. But most of the time, when we get out here, we have a tendency to want to put the wisdom or the knowledge that people have gave us on the back burner, only to go out here and run into psychological mountains that you won't be permitted to go around or go under or go through. And because you keep hitting these stumbling blocks, you keep making the same miscalculated risk to your own existence. But at the same time, I hope you realize that life goes on. Like, whether you can psychologically surpass all of that stuff doesn't really matter to nature, because nature is going to move. And it is continuing to move, even if you think that as a person you're standing still. If the earth is still moving, then you're still moving too. But you keep running into these walls that you don't want to break down, or you choose not to acknowledge or psychologically impeding your progress. This whole statue about man being God or women being God, the things that we buy into this world, or things that has been created over the history of mankind to say that his dominance in this world is God-like. Well, when you talk about the spiritual health of things, and that's not even a healthy thought, because God, in and of God's self, is a purely righteous human being, is a purely righteous entity. Human being is the flesh. But God is above all of the things that we call ourselves to make us godly. God has never wanted to be the ruler of men. God was just the creator of the bodies that comes into this world. We then become the stewards of bringing bodies into this world. And it is our hope that we could do the best that we can. So being godlike, to me, means that you take on an aura of pure righteousness. But that's not the case with human beings. Human beings take on the mentality of, I'm godly, but I'm going to make mistakes. The human side of us calibrates those mistakes, and then we try to justify them. But God is not involved in the affairs of men for the simple reason that God gave us free will. And free will has not made us any better than what we currently are. But God, in God's infinite wisdom, the divine creator, just brought us into this world and said that you have to raise what you created. Although I created everything in this world, I gave you something that I didn't give no other creature on this planet. I gave you free will. Now use that accordingly. And when you use it, you being godlike, then you learn from other adults what it takes to be godly, or the perception of being godly. If we were to take the concept of what that actually means and put that into action and be godly, that means that everything that we do would be righteous when we raise our children. It would be righteous when we deal with women. It would be righteous when we deal with men. It'll be righteous when we deal with the food that we produce. It would be righteous when we look at, on a broader spectrum, the whole of humanity. But these things don't really exist. They exist in the mind of an idealist, but in all practical purposes, the godliness falls short because we don't know what it takes to be in the mind of God. Everybody talks about what it takes to be in the mind of God, but nobody really knows. Everybody has a spiritual awareness of what that takes. But the implementation of it is always fragmented. And God is not a fragmented being. God is just one divine entity. And the realm in which God exists is not a realm that you and I can even reach. And if you were to reach it, you would be changed forever. You could never be the human being that you are presently walking on the planet. You'd be something totally different. And even when you get to that level of difference, you still didn't reach the level of being godlike, because that level requires so much more than the mere existence on this planet. And this is what people, you know, dangle a carrot of righteousness all about, or dangle the piece of gold to talk about what religions are, and to break down what they think, or to pontificate about what they believe to be that level of God. Nobody knows that level of God. But if you look at nature, and I always go back to this because it's like a marvelous teacher to those that are aware of something more powerful than man. We are, make no mistake about it, powerful entities. If you look at what we have done with the natural resources and how we have shaped the things that God put on the planet to our liking, then you would definitely have to agree that to some extent, man has a lot of power. With talking to collaborators, we can design the best of things. Talking or reflecting on past mistakes to correct them going forward helps us to understand when we're talking about being manly or existing humanly in this world that is created by a being that we may never see in our lifetime. And the reason I say that, the reason I keep saying that you will never see God in your lifetime, because that's a level that you don't reach. And it's not going to be anything on the planet that's going to make you recognize that you will never see God in your lifetime. But your level of awareness can let you visualize that the way we live and the things that we see, man did not create it all. When you begin to see that, then that opens up your mind just a little bit to realize that there has to be something more powerful. And even if you don't get into the level of being godly or godlike, you have to realize that you and I and anybody else that exists on this planet, in this sphere, can never be godlike. When you realize that just because someone created a phone, or someone created electricity, or someone invented a car, or someone built a rocket ship to take us out of Earth orbit, that we as human beings are able to put a satellite into outer space, or that we're able to put the International Space Station in outer space, and that we got a telescope that can look pierce beyond our galaxy and goes into other galaxies, that goes into infinity. Those are things that makes us and allows us to see the universe at play by a God that created it for you all to see. Now, I'm not a theorist. I don't necessarily get into the notion of how do you question a being that you can't see. You can question anytime you want. Even Albert Einstein knew or felt that there was something more powerful than us, and that we were just a mere vessel to uncover the mysteries that would lead us back to the very origin of the beginning of everything. And just recently, with a telescope, man was able to see beyond light years and see a whole nother beautiful array of colors. And there's still something beyond that. But when you see that and you see the organization of it, then it should humble you even more to make you understand that you are not the beginning and ending of all things. You can see with the technology that we have how in depth the universe really is. And the level that you try to reach to explain those things should put you in a humble state when you go to sleep. But around the world, man seems to think that they're God. And the biggest fallacy of that is that you You mistreat children. The most precious thing that you could ever create, that you get to mold and shape, is being abused. Now, God in His infinite wisdom has not poured down or abused any of us. But because of mentally how we think, we have turned around. Since we are so godlike, we've turned it on women and children. We've turned it on other men by just wanting to destroy them because of who we are or what we have. And it leads you to a road. It leads us on a road of just being human, of just wanting everything to be physical and mental. And it doesn't matter what we do or how we say it, these two realms that we exist in gives us the illusion of all the power that we want. Tony Robbins was saying the most powerful thing that man has done to another man, if he doesn't have power, is to have a gun. When you have a gun and you point a gun at someone, instantly, he says, the power from that makes everybody humble. Because the gun is a death giver. It's not a life saver, it's a death giver. It's a life saver if you've been attacked by someone for unprovoked reasons to cause you to have self-defense. But a gun in of itself is a killing machine. The guns don't destroy people. People destroy people. And if you go back all the way back in biblical days when they had the spears and they, you know, had the arrows, they was killing people for tribal dominance. They were killing people because somebody has something that somebody wants. But these aren't God tendencies. God blesses you by putting you in a place and saying, cultivate where you are. And man is curious. He's always branched out for more and more. And there's nothing unjust about branching out for more and more. But the discovery of it is for you to realize when you get somewhere and you see somebody there that they were there before you. And that whatever, however they worship is how they worship, and it has nothing to do with you. In current day's time with technology, we can see all around the world in a flash. And it doesn't matter about the news perspective that people give us, but the fact that we have satellites that are up in space that encompasses the earth allows us to see into worlds that we normally wouldn't get a chance to see into. Back in biblical days, there was no such thing as being able to see from Africa to Egypt. I mean, say from Egypt to Europe. They had to take ships. And the technology of that day was to get you to and from over the seas. Or if you lived in a continent where you can walk, then you would travel to these places to see those things. But now you don't even have to travel. In your imagination, when people show you beautiful places, you can imagine yourself being there. But that doesn't make us godly or godlike. It makes our dreams and desires and goals come true, yes. But to be in that level and to exist on that realm of godliness, you just can't do harm to people. And when you can realize that when you touch another body, it has the same ingredients as yours, and that you wish them well-being like you have well-being, the world itself begins to gravitate towards healing. And when you gravitate toward healing, that is a God-like property. But most of the time, we're not really trying to heal another person. Sometimes our motives are selfishness because we want things for ourselves. And it doesn't matter who we talk to or how we talk to them. It's just we want something for ourselves and we do anything to get it. And the thing about being a godlike in man's world is that there's a power of manipulation that's involved. The thing about God is God does not have to manipulate anything. The realm that God exists on is a realm that is so pure in light and righteousness, so much pure in divinity, that to do that would make God unrighteous. And we know that the pristine image of a being that's divine is not going to do anything that's not righteous. Righteous men have come and meditated and fasted and did all those things to prepare them for a level of awareness of themselves that they know that you shouldn't do harm to each other. And when you calculate how many men and women that is, that number is small in nature. The masses of people, being you and I, that exist in this world, our mind isn't quite ready to be on that level, because we still have this one woman we want to talk to. We still have these children that we are teaching to be selfish. We are still trying to find the latest scheme or distraction to adding wealth. We are in a world where righteousness is frowned upon. Like, really, it's frowned upon. And that's why, like, when you talk about a man like, you know, Jesus, peace be unto my man, you're talking about a man that came into this world to try to undo all of the wickedness in the world and the time that he lived in. And even when he did that, and even as forgiven as he was, when he went to certain places, they tried to stone him. This is just a man that was just trying to drop knowledge about God and telling the world about a divine being that you may never see in your lifetime, but because of the grace of God, I was sent here to tell you these things. And all he did was talk. He didn't try to go around and say, I'm going to make the sun stand still. He didn't go around and say, you know, I'm going to bless your land. He was just trying to say the things that you read in the Bible to get you to understand the power that exists in your mind, if your mind is on a righteous level. And even when he was talking with his disciple, a lot of times when he would give these metaphors, they didn't understand what he was saying. And then he had to explain it again. And he was trying to get them to the level that in order to understand God, you got to be of this thinking. Now take that and translate that to you and I today. God is not speaking, and just in my opinion, he's not speaking through man today anymore. It's almost like you look for an answer in man, but all you got to do is look at what surrounds you and become overwhelmed and blessed by the power of things that they can't control. Now, the men and women of today, a lot of them are trying to bring you to a God-like state. But to get to a God-like state is it's a tough ordeal if everything you're doing has you mired in the physical forms of things that are created by man. And as long as you can manipulate that and use that to your advantage, then it's going to be harder for you to appreciate God. And the appreciation has to come from you, because the way I see it, God is not worried about nobody on this planet. The one thing I can say for sure is that you have free will, and you can use that any way you want, anytime you want. But God is not bothered by whether or not you humble yourself and realize the power. God has said throughout this whole world, all human beings, you got free will. I don't care where you exist in the world, you got a free will. But whatever you subjugate that will to, then those are the things that you're going to materialize. And you need a world where you can discover what free will is to find out if you want to worship God or not. And God is not nowhere putting no torrential rains on the world simultaneously and saying, no, you're going to learn. The sun shines for everybody. The rain comes for everybody, because this planet is nurtured by that. You, at the same time, have problems that you got to solve. And sometimes they're unsolvable in the world of man. What do? We get alone. We get quiet. We meditate, we reflect, we ask a being that we'll never see, can you help me? And even in that, you'll get an answer. And even when you get that answer, you may not even consider it a righteous answer. You may just consider it just an answer. But God, in His infinite wisdom, just let life continue to advance. And He allows you and I to learn. And when you have that kind of power, you can become godlike when the principles that you apply only makes people spiritual, makes them better. I don't know if God exists in the dirt. I know God created dirt. I don't know if you see God in every human being, but God gave a woman and a man the ability to create a human being. But the one thing I do know is that for every human being that's born, every human being dies. And then you have all these wailing of teeth and people crying. But that's part of this journey. And when you can understand that part of the journey, wherever you are in this world, I don't care where you are, if you realize that time is a precious thing to you, then the dreams and the goals that you have, you're going to aspire to do them. But remember, if you're doing them and they're not God-like, then you're doing them as a mere human being. And you can have and desire whatever you want and choose. Dr. Napoleon Hill called the power of God infinite intelligence, because God's intelligence is so far beyond ours that it's calculated in an instant to solve anything. Our intelligence can be on the same level if we're solving the problems to take care of the people of the world, not to take care of ourselves. And God energy is the entire universe, but God doesn't exist on this plane. And that it's going to be hard for someone to explain God to children. And even though they ask, if they look at you and think that you're godly and you're godlike, then the way you treat them is going to determine how they are in the world. And even right now, with you being an adult, whatever you hold inside is what you hold inside. And these things are what you make real. And loving God is, without a doubt, the most powerful thing you can do. Do you know why? Because God is something that you can't see. You can't grab, you can't hold. And when you're trying to be God-like, the things that you do in a righteous light, a person can't tag or can't hold. It just flows and flees at the same time. And being God-like doesn't mean that you're so above everybody else. Being God-like just simply means that I know I have free will. And I just want to try to serve as best I can. And as a human being, we're going to always come up short. But the God-like nature of us makes us realize that there's a power that's beyond us. And it's a power that transcends space and time. And in closing, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to just bring this up. Do you realize that when you go to sleep and you're in a dream state and your body is at rest and your mind goes into those dreams, that you actually wake up feeling like you've been somewhere when the whole time you've been laying in a state of rest? Some dreams you can't explain. Some dreams we try to explain. And sometimes you don't dream at all. And it's when you wake up in the waking world and you have to go about your life, that even besides the dreams that you had, how are you going to live that day with that level of understanding? You can wipe the dreams away, but how are you going to live when you wake up on that day or today, just to show appreciation for something that's beyond the power of men? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining me. on this podcast. And I just want to give a shout out to Anchor and a shout out to Spotify for at least allowing me to share my perspective on life and just try to reach the world in a way that I know how. And to evolve the minds of the people to get them to realize that although we have done a lot of things, that there's still a being that reigns supreme. And the only reason I say that that's fitting is my simple fact is that nobody lives forever. If you go back 100 years ago, people were here and they died. Nobody stayed, and even if they stayed past a century, they still didn't have the vitality of youth. Everybody fades. These vessels that we have fade. And even when you fade and you're gone, babies are still being born, and they won't know anything about any of us. The only ones that know something about us is the ones that we create when we create a family. Or we get into this world where fame and fortune rings true. But the child that's in you won't exist anymore. And the people that may use your information or the things that you have left behind to motivate them will be motivation for them. But they will know nothing of the physical you. Because that is only a part of you. Ladies and gentlemen, in closing, I have 4 quotes for you. One is from Dr. Napoleon Hill. One is from Antonio T. Smith Jr. One is from Eric Thomas. And one I created. Dr. Hill says, the mind can conceive it and believe it. The mind can achieve it. And now look at the world. Look at what we have accomplished, ladies and gentlemen. Look at what man has been able to do with the natural resources that God has provided for them. They conceived these ideas. They went out and they came up with a plan for these ideas. And here we are. Antonio T. Smith Jr. says, you can plant better. You can dominate. I mean, go back to it and look at it again. Look at what we've done. And to see the mind of man flourish like this is truly astonishing. Like, you wake up some morning and some man somewhere or some person somewhere or some woman has created something that you didn't even think could be coming to existence, but they did it. And dominating your thoughts, you plant those thoughts of creation, because that's all they are. Your thoughts become things, and you create that. Come on, man, that is amazing, amazing, and impressive. But still, it does not equate to a being that you have never seen in your lifetime. And Antonio simply means that you don't dominate people. You dominate your own existence. And you bring into existence what you want. Eric Thomas says, make the rest of your life the best of your life. Enough said. The best of your life is when you know that you've gone beyond the creation of man. That what we've done don't impress you anymore. That you're more impressed by the raindrops, by lightning that's in the clouds that creates thunder, by the stationary position of the sun that causes all the planets to revolve around it. Make the rest of your life the best of your life. That the material possessions don't trap you anymore. That you had all that, or if you didn't have it enough, you realize that you had some of it and you were able to do better by it. Last one is something that I created. It says that life does not require more from you. Life does not require less from you. Life only requires that you maximize your 24 hours, and in doing so, you have anything that you desire. All the things that we point to in life, that if another person is doing it and you're able to focus and center yourself on doing the exact same thing, you can do it too. That's what you see in the world. You see people replicating all the time. You can't replicate that person, but you can take their concept and embody those concepts to do the things that you see that they're doing. And it's those concepts that have brought man to the level that you see him. We keep adding on and making things more technologically sound in this world, making it more psychologically sound in this world, because our desire is to make a better world or to have such lavish creations that the world of man will look at you and be awe. But it still will not permit you and I to see a being like God in our lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, until we meet again, peace.